time for action, gentlemen.
Gee, how very hot.
Program complete. Listen when ready.
Oop, just did the, oh, crap, I closed the wrong page. Hi, welcome to the Nerd Trick Podcast.
At least you didn't hit the red button.
High quality.
It was not the red button today, but it was the wrong memory alpha, and I am at a loss without my memory alpha page. However, welcome to the Nerd Trek Podcast. I am your host for the evening, David, and together with us is Jeff.
Ping Pot.
And of course, Philip.
Gesundheit. What? Hi, everybody.
If you get the reference for Bing Pot, let me know.
I don't, actually. I usually get almost all of your references, and I don't think
you're the one who told me to watch the show. Sorry.
Bing Pot?
Continue. Bing Pot.
Okay. Well, we'll circle back to that. However, as a glutton for more punishment, we have our guest back again as Desert Rose Cosplay on most of the social media. Stephanie Rose is with us.
Yay!
Hello! Yay!
So if you listened to our last episode, she was on there as well, and she decided not to quit on us, which is always a good thing.
Yeah!
We haven't scared her off yet.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
I hear you. Okay. Oh, yes. I hear you.
But I don't remember the Bing Pot thing. I did. I was the one who told me to watch that. But
he was like freaked out about something and he was going to say like Jack Potter or Bingo or something and it comes out as Bing
Pot. It came out.
Oh. Okay.
Classic.
I love that show.
That is good. It's a great show. Alrighty, so today we are doing the episode, if it'll ever load up, Rejoined, which aired in the 90s. season 4, episode 6,
oh,
aired in the 90s on October 30th, 1995, so the day before Halloween in 1995. And it is about one of Jadzia's former wives coming back and having to interact with her, and we get to see a little more into her culture and their rules of whether or not you can hook up with exes, basically.
with it. Okay, they're called exes for a reason.
For a different reason than this than most. So it is an interesting idea of would you want to hook up with your ex if it's because they're your ex because you died and passed on to another person in a way. But it's a very unique situation as a symbiote.
Even if you die, you can't escape them.
Not in Star Trek, at least.
It's gotta be such a weird thing, though, because I mean, if with all the people that are joined to a symbiont, and like after a certain amount of generations, like everyone's just fucked everybody.
Right. What happens after 100 years? Like also,
yeah,
that's the better question.
Yeah,
there's
no more six degrees of separation.
Yeah,
it's like being joined is a fairly rare event for Trill. Like, how many actually do it?
It's a small percentage, but
it is.
It's a small percentage, but think about how many we encounter throughout the series that, you know, like there's quite a few. I don't know. I feel like it's more likely that they would cross paths than not, but.
Yeah, and then just given enough time.
Well, I guess because it's a generation per, like, host usually, right? Mm-hmm. They could live a full life. So I would imagine you might have, say, 20 previous hosts, but you only have one ex who might be alive. Like that you might
yeah
have
true in one so of the old in one of the previous episodes they gave the number, it's like 10% of Trill are joined, something like that. It was very, very low,
and that's what I would have thought. Like they make it seem like you have to go through this whole process and be chosen, and it's like I'm trying to think of an equivalent, maybe like being an astronaut in our society. Like yeah, they're there,
sure,
they exist, but you have to go through a rigorous process and be
so like
chosen,
how often do you run into an astronaut?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. That's what it is.
So what is the likelihood then that two symbionts are both very attractive females?
On Star Trek, pretty likely. Like,
well, do you, okay. Well, I know David didn't watch this, but do you guys remember when this first came out? Like this was a huge thing. Cause it was like the first like lesbian kiss.
Yeah.
It was like a huge thing.
Well, this was DS9's TOS, Kirk and Nichelle.
Yeah,
like this,
Kirk
you know,
and
it, yeah, Kirk and Uhura. Like this was a big deal.
Yeah, this was huge.
like I said, like you said, I didn't see it, so I'll take your word for it. But I wasn't exactly following Trek culture back in the 90s. What was I watching? I was sitting around watching Frasier with my parents. That's what I was doing.
Okay, Frasier is great. Did you see the remake? No, it was really good.
I did. I actually went back and binged the entire series recently, and then went back and watched Cheers, and I'm like five seasons or six seasons deep in that.
No, it was really good. While I was in Seattle, I was excited to check out some of the places where they supposedly filmed, which, you know, they were fake. The buildings did not exist, but I tried my best.
The only one I think they did was the one where they had Frasier Crane Day, and he's on the, like, monorail right in front of the Space Needle, and then it comes back. I was like, I've been on that tram.
Well, it's so funny because that was only created for the World's Fair, right? And so they only use it for nostalgic purposes now. It's like one stop. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one stop from a mall about a half mile away up to
I know.
And I wrote it when I was there, because you have to, touristy stuff.
You have to. Yeah, I went to it, and I went to Chihuly and did all the stuff there while I was visiting a couple weeks ago, but it was very fun.
I love a good monorail.
Hey, I'm a Disney adult, so the monorail is my thing. I love it.
So look behind me. That's all.
I see it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, back. Sorry, she got to backtrack now from Frasier, Disneyland, monorails.
Sorry, my bad.
One track. Stay on a monorail.
He's got a huge pin collection behind him. So one track. Like, it's very enticing, but
and that's like not even half of it.
Yeah, you should see his whole Legos. Like, this is like, I only have a couple things. He has like,
it's
a whole
Lego,
thing
not Legos.
Okay. It's Lego sets.
Plural Lego.
Sorry,
Lego.
I apologize. I know. I was. I think I said that Legos, to Oh God, what's her name? They were both on the first season of Lego Masters. What the fuck? I'm blanking on their names. They're like, Tamara knows them. And she was at the Star Trek convention in Vegas.
Crystal. I brought her to the Star Trek. Yeah. So I brought her first year there, actually, which was the 50th. It was the first year that she watched Star Trek. So
nice. Yeah, exciting. She was there. And then I ran into her. Why am I spacing on names? Who was her partner for Lego Masters?
Sorry. I'm drawing a blank on her name. She lives here in Dallas as well. So she was actually the very first person to have the Tesla implant to unlock her vehicle. And that was her thing. So that's kind of her shtick. But she's a science nerd at her core. Oh, my goodness. Why am I drawing a total blank on her name, though?
She's friends with Tamara, who's been on the show several times.
She's definitely a friend of the podcast.
Yeah. And I met her at Dragon Con last year. I was very intoxicated. But
Amy.
Yes. Amy, yeah. God, it's like the simplest name. Yeah, but she's great.
And she's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
They both are, really. I mean.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. Okay, back to the
Star Trek.
Sorry.
We took a turn at Poughkeepsie. I'm sorry, guys.
We did. That's how it goes. Okay, so yes, in this episode, what's the name of it? So her
Rejoined.
Old, Jadzia's old, it wasn't Curzon's husband, obviously. It was one of her other.
It was like her third or fourth, so it was back a couple generations, but it wasn't this woman. She was a different woman, like in a different body.
Oh, is that what it is? They're both joined. They both. You know what? I think that flew over my head because that's why I was like, if it's like three or four generations back, how is this woman still alive? Like, I figured it was aging tricks or, you know, Star Trek bullshit or who knows what. No. Like, it just.
But both symbionts had moved on to other bodies at this point, so they were both hot, attractive females at the time when they rejoined.
Yes.
Con.
Yeah. Yes. It's just.
Con.
Yeah, that was an interesting pick for the symbiont name.
Yeah. I was almost. It'd be interesting if they had that twist at the end. They're like, it is Con! Blah, dun, dun, dun.
It would have been so like, good if Jed Z is like
running an episode of Scooby Doo. He rips off the mask. Like,
it was Con all along, you meddling kids.
Yeah, they should have had Jed Z like running to the airlock door, like that, like kind of rom com slow motion, just going, Con! That would have been great.
There you go. See, why didn't they ask us to write these back in 1995? We could have done so well.
Because we were stupid teenagers.
Our stupid adults.
Or children.
Yeah, I'm just a stupid 40-year-old.
But yeah, so they meet, and of course there's attraction, and they both try to kind of deny it. They're like, oh, we couldn't possibly. I don't feel it. You don't feel it. Do you feel it? No, I don't feel it. Do you feel it? I don't feel it. Like, and then it kind of.
Stop saying that. It's freaking me out.
Do you feel it? Do you feel it, Jeff? Do you feel it? Do you not feel it?
No.
Jeff is uncomfortable talking about feelings in general. Let's just put it that way.
That's why I have therapy tomorrow.
I'm trying to remember if there's a B plot. Anybody remember a B plot in this one other than the
They're trying to open a wormhole. That's why she's there.
They're trying to create the artificial
wormhole. Oh, that's so right. And see if they can make it.
Sorry. My brain.
That's right. She's there to open an artificial wormhole and see if they can stabilize it because they have a natural one. And of course, we want to try and weaponize anything we can find.
I don't know that I would call it a B plot, though, because that plays into the A plot. Because the ending.
Yeah, that's just the reason she's there.
The explosion and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just B plot isn't it's the one that they give less time to. You know, like, because that's really what identifies the A plots and the B plots is which one do they prioritize time.
I don't think there really is another plot. It's just, it's pretty much the entire episode.
Just,
yeah,
I think that's it. It's kind of an interweaving plot, which I do like. They seem to do more and more as they go along. It's not really too separated plots that maybe interact a tiny bit. It's like they're kind of interwoven and their writing is definitely improving at this point. I have to say,
this is not the brain dead TOS episodes. Like, okay, first of all, you're gonna offend me if you start talking shit about TOS. I'm gonna
offend you.
But no.
I'll just get my mouth shut.
But
I'm just gonna sit by.
Everybody else is just gonna shut up right now. No, but I do think that this episode is kind of a shifting point for DS9 specifically, where they stop doing the, you know, multiple different plots and all of a sudden it's just, okay, let's focus on this one storyline that's going to continue on. And it's not, it goes from less of like a, you know, episodic to more of a long storyline, I guess. Like it just, it really starts to shift at this point.
Yeah, we've definitely seen it a bit in season 3 where they kind of started leaning more into like the lead up to the Dominion being a problem. I know there's a Dominion War coming that's been spoiled. they reference the Dominion
Spoilers,
War all the time.
Ah,
but you can tell that's that leading up in last season. So I do, and I like that a bit more. The more they're getting into that, the more I like it. So I have a feeling that TNG had some enjoyable stuff. I did enjoy an episode or two. But I have a feeling from here on out, it's going to be a lot easier for me to enjoy the Star Trek as we do this. Whereas before it was like, okay, I really have to watch these episodes and I really need to pay attention because I don't want to.
Until we get to Voyager.
I think I'm going to like Voyager. That was the one, I saw sporadic episodes as a kid, I enjoyed the most back then, but that was not in a serialized format or in bingeable method.
It's very episodic.
It's very episodic.
It is episodic.
There's some mini arcs, but it's very
I am curious. Like, so far, people who've been on have told me that they think I'm going to like DS9 more, and we'll see if
don't get me wrong. I love Voyager, but it's very episodic.
The great thing about Voyager when it was on is you could catch an episode here and there, and it didn't matter if you had watched the one previously because they all stood alone, but they had some carrying story arcs, so it wasn't necessary to see the entire series.
Yeah, you could pick up really fast if you'd missed anything.
You could figure
out really fast what was going
on. That could be why I enjoyed it as a kid, because I'd watch it on Saturday mornings after Hercules and Xena were done, then came the Star Treks on regular TV. And I don't think they ever showed them in order. So Deep Space Nine, it probably was like one episode seemed like nothing was going on, and the next they're having a giant war, and I'm like,
what? You're like, where did this happen from? Yeah, I don't
Voyager, they're like, oh, they found a weird thing. Let's watch what happens here. Like,
there's a lot of weird things.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's a lot of weird things.
Star Trek, you know?
Yeah,
that's true.
Not wrong.
Anything else interesting about this episode? We didn't have any deaths, I don't think.
No, there was no deaths, but there was a lot of progression of their relationship at this point. You know, they re-meet. They realize they still have feelings for each other. You know, they go to dinner with Bashir, and they're all like, okay, we're just going to be friends, and this is nothing. And then all of a sudden, it's not nothing anymore. You know, it just kind of happens naturally, and they don't mean for it to. But then there's the tough choice of, okay, what do we do? Because this is against everything in our culture, everything that we've ever been told that we're allowed to do in our lifetime. And you know, they're having to make this serious choice while still battling their emotions, which, I mean, they're not human, but it's very similar to human emotion, I would think. And
humanoid,
you know, so yeah, humanoid. I mean, and they're remembering all of these, you know, this history that they had. And all of these emotions and feelings are flooding back, and they're seeing each other. And even though they're in different bodies, they're realizing that the experience is the same. And so I think that's a really challenging thing for both of them to deal with. And at that point, they're like, okay, we have people that we have to, you know, protect, like her brother who's watching out for her, who is trying to make sure that she doesn't make the mistake of a lifetime by, you know, ending the life of her symbiont. Like, that, it's very heavy, honestly.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, the whole two previous symbionts interacting after is such a huge, like, oh, no, we cannot have anything. It's like, let alone you guys making out somewhere.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but the idea brings a different light to it, I guess, because it's like you feel from their perspective the way that they shot this show in this episode. And then you think about how a taboo in your culture resonates with you when you think about it outwardly, I guess. And it kind of gives you a little bit better perspective. Like, if you were a Bajoran or a, you know, somebody else, you might not get it. But if you are a Trill with a symbiont, you would understand. And so it's just really bridging that gap between, okay, we're all people with the same kind of feelings, or, you know, humanoids or whatever. We're all different species with the same feelings.
Bipedal species.
Yeah. And basically. And so it's one of those things that transcends just, it's not about just Trill culture. It's about the experience as anybody in the universe and the way that you connect to other people. And it really sucks when a cultural expectation supersedes your own personal expectations, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, which, I mean, especially when this came out in 95.
Like, yeah, like that was,
yeah, such a huge thing.
Yeah.
In typical Star Trek fashion, it was very ahead of its time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and even now, it still matters now. Or even, you know, if you go back to the previous episode where Dukat talks about his daughter, like, well, she doesn't really fit in on Cardassia. She's not going to fit in with the Bajorans because, you know, we've seen them. They don't like these these kind of half-breeds that they've talked about. And then you see this with the Trill. It's like, it's how people who live on the Outliers don't fit into quote unquote normal society or what the expectation is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's a little bit more to it too that can be unpacked if you want to go that deep on it, but it kind of has a statement on, you know, gender norms and the whole trans culture right now, that it's kind of a hot button issue at the moment. But when you think about this in the 90s having been aired, and the fact that these are Trills with a symbiont who are a different gender than they are, and yet they're still able to absolve those feelings and understand what the other person went through. And yet they're still in love with that other individual. It doesn't matter what their, you know, sex, race, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's, I don't know, it kind of comes full circle a little bit, because you realize that there is a spiritual element to love, and Star Trek has always been a little bit beyond everything else when it comes to that. So I don't know. It's just,
and ahead of its time again.
Very ahead of its time. And, you know, and that's the reason I love TOS. I know a lot of people hate on TOS, but my God, when I watch it, I'm just like, I'm sorry, but TOS is very ahead of its time. And, you know, they saw things that people didn't see for 20, 30 years later. So,
oh, believe me, if you listen to our TOS episodes, we acknowledge that. And then I acknowledged it was still kind of shitty writing.
Yeah, but you're also looking at the 60s and TOS from now. If you look at it from in that perspective, in the 60s, watching it for the first time, it's vastly different.
60s goggles, and it still was like, this is just not necessarily, it was ahead of its time, but it wasn't great television, like, quality.
I agree with that. And I love it all. I love it all. I really do, to my core. Like, I am a Trekkie to my fucking basic cells. Like, that's just me. But it's crazy watching it progress throughout the years, because it has always been ahead of its time, no matter what series you're watching. And that is what is so incredible to me, is that they've gotten such a good group of writers and creators and, you know, art directors and everybody. And it's just, it's so good. Like, they really teach you something. And most shows that you watch nowadays are mindless, and this is not.
Yeah.
It's true. While they'll be creative, they don't try to get you to think.
Yeah.
No.
And whether you like the message or not, there is a message.
Yeah.
There's always a message. Sure. And you don't always know that you're learning it. And that's part of the charm of Star Trek, is that it makes you think about things from another perspective without making you feel like it's forced down your throat.
Yeah.
That's what sci-fi has always been able to do in general. Because you're like, it's not this, it's this.
This is alien. It's
kind of like that. But it's
right.
Alien it's did it. Thing. I don't know. What? Getting back to it, not to change the subject, but this episode has one of the coolest effects I think I've seen in Trek, when after the explosion and like useless piece of shit, Eddington is like laying there all sprawled out. Dax creates the force field like across the plasma leak. Yeah. And she walks down it to get to Lenora. I was like, what? Yeah.
That was cool.
I love that effect. That's so good.
I think especially for the time, that was really freaking cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, one of the less dated feeling ones that we see on the show. Because a lot of the times their special effects are okay. But
yeah, and we've seen people like,
they don't necessarily hold up.
We've seen people like try to break through force fields and stuff, but never like walk across them like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was just like, oh, that's so cool. I love it.
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
Well, and the ending is kind of sad, you know? It's like, even after all of this reconnection, after all of this humanoid emotion, they realize that they still care for each other, but she still ultimately makes the sacrifice of, I don't want to kill my symbiont, so that is more important than having a relationship with you. So it's like picking selflessness over selfishness. And I think that's a really good lesson to learn from Star Trek, you know? I mean,
well, and really that's the only choice she could come to, because it's been hammered again and again that no, the life of the symbiont is valued way above the life of the host. The host is just a shell. The symbiont will go forever.
Right. So, and I agree with that.
She was not going to be able to pick
her feelings.
No.
Yeah, over the Dax symbiont.
That's fair.
Because that would be it. If they chose to stay together or whatever, then the symbiont dies with Dax.
Right.
It wouldn't get rejoined.
But as good cinema still does, even though you know what's going to happen, they did a pretty good job of having that final scene where you're kind of turn around.
She's at the airlock there, and Dax is like up on the upper level of the promenade, like tears streaming down, and just like,
and then she finally like, moment.
yeah,
like, aw.
But it's also kind of like, you know, Jurassic Park might have taken a little cue from that. Like, life finds a way. Like,
it's true.
It is true, because it just carries on. Like, they're not going to end it there. No, because it's life. Life has to carry on.
No. Oh, that's got to be hard, though. Just, yeah. Especially if you, well, because, I mean, that's even, she makes that distinction with Sisko. Just even having, like, just having a friendship. You know, because he was very good friends with Curzon, and she said multiple times, like, you know, I'm not Curzon. And it's interesting how they kind of maintain some of those relationships. But it's like, yeah, once you veer into the romantic side, then it's like this whole other thing.
Yeah, it really changes the dynamic a lot.
That does propose an interesting thought experiment, which is, what would a Jurassic Park Star Trek crossover look like?
Oh, no. My God.
Which Jurassic Park?
Which one are we talking? Are we talking old Jurassic Park or new Jurassic World?
No, I think old, for sure.
Jeff Goldblum sitting on a toilet in the middle of
space right now. Yes, yeah, which Jurassic Star Trek Park, character is going to get eaten on the toilet? Which one?
Oh, God. That's a tough. Who could we sacrifice for that?
Chakot.
Yeah.
Chakot.
I was going to say, I feel like it'd be a Cardassian.
Like, it would be a Cardassian for sure.
Even after the humanizing episode we just have,
it wasn't enough to make you love them. Like, you're just like, okay, I tolerate you now.
Yeah, until you do something like really horrible, and we know you're
really awful. Yeah.
And we know he is.
Or, you know, whatever. Just it's gonna happen. But
yeah.
Well, as a phrase I like to use a lot, it explains the behavior, not excuses it. So it's like, you're still like, you're still a terrible person, but I guess we understand why you're a terrible person.
Oh, but we're empathetic to it, but
it doesn't change it.
Yeah.
And did we mention who played Lenora Khan?
A person.
An actor.
Susanna Thompson.
Awesome. Who dat?
The Borg Queen herself.
Oh.
Yes.
So,
I don't think I realized that when I was watching it.
But the guys may not remember, because it was the Voyager Borg Queen.
No, I remember. Yeah. Once you said it,
I know David wasn't going to get it. Yeah.
I was going to say, has there been different Borg Queens from what you're telling me, I guess?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I knew I have like, seen the
sorry,
new episodes.
That was like, I didn't mean to sound like duh. But like,
like, fuck yes, duh.
Hi.
Jeez, David.
Well, I was gonna say, this episode of Make David Cry.
I know that there's the other lady who takes over as the Borg Queen, but that's a whole different thing. Like, obviously.
Yeah.
I assumed someone else had played her in the movies and the TV shows previously. I take it that is not the case.
Yeah. Alice Krieg, Annie Warshig, Jane Seymour. Jane somebody.
Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour. Don't tell me that one.
Like, Dr. Quinn Medicine
was not the Borg Queen.
Yeah. No, nothing that's right.
No.
Yeah, just a couple of them.
Jane Edwina Seymour. That's who it is. That's her middle name. Okay. She was the Borg Queen during Picard season 3.
Gotcha. Okay.
It was voiced by Alice Krieg, but she was the person that actually portrayed it.
Oh, okay.
It's like when season 3, like the Vox episode and stuff, where she's all like fucked up looking.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember because there's Borg in every season, and they're all vastly different.
Right. And then the newest Borg, she passed away last year, right?
The one from season 2. Yeah, she had cancer.
She's like the fucked up looking one.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because Annie Wershing was in season 2 where they time traveled.
Yeah.
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 That's sad. She was a great actress, but.
Yeah, she was in Vegas, like right, like.
I know, a couple months before she passed. I met her right before. It was kind of wild. I remember walking her out, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice because I get to meet so many wonderful actresses and actors and interact with all these people. But then it's sad every year when I hear other people's passings. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy because I just met them and they seem fine. But
yeah. or they kill off great characters. Like we had Stephanie Chkowski on during Picard, and we loved Tavine. That was such a great character and everything. And it was before the episode aired when they killed her. And so we're like, oh yeah, this would be great if they ever did a spinoff of like everything that's going on. Like maybe we'll have like a Tavine be a part. Nope, we're not having shit. We're taking away everything you guys like. Sorry.
Damn Star Trek.
I know. It's like, okay.
Every time.
Oh, you like this character? No.
No.
Not anymore.
Dead.
A bald Vulcan science officer with an attitude. I love it. That's great.
That was awesome. Yeah.
She was great.
It was good.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I think we might have talked about everything we can talk about in this one. Anything anybody else can think of, Phil?
No. That's
usually your cue.
Not from this one. This is an Avery Brooks episode. He directed this one. It was a very closed set because of the kiss. They had one of the news magazines, like Entertainment Tonight or something. Was doing like a behind the scenes kind of thing about DS9, and they wanted to film the scene of the kiss like while it was in production, and Avery Brooks was like, nope, not happening. So they shut that down pretty fast. But yeah, otherwise that was nothing too much going on. I mean, other than this is probably one of the most controversial episodes of the series.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was.
Yeah.
I like that scene with Sisko and Dax, like where she's trying to kind of figure it out. And he's like, you probably shouldn't do this, but if you do decide to do this, then I will be fully behind you and support you.
Yeah.
I love that scene actually, because it just shows like true friendship over the, you know, years. And he's going to back her up, even if she's making a huge mistake. And that is friendship.
Yep. As you said, that's exactly how friendship should be. You don't have to agree with the person's decisions to support their decisions. That's 100%.
Nope. Oh God, me and my best friend are definitely like that. So I support her horrible decisions all the time. Gabby, if you're listening, I love you. But
and that's what they're there for.
That is absolutely true. But you know what? She keeps me on my toes. So
good. What's the Davometer on this one?
Oh, you know we haven't done the Davometer in a while.
Oh, what is that?
I feel like that's the rating from me as a fresh pair of eyes, as somebody who's seeing it for the first time, and I only really know all the stuff coming before it. I almost feel like it's hard to give this one a rating. There's so many different aspects that could get ratings, but if I had to give it one overall, it definitely kept attention. I like that it pushed the envelope. I am going to give this an 8 on the Davometer. 8 out of 10.
Mm,
so it is up there. what was the last one we did? Though I think the last one would be like a 6, mostly just because of the creepy crawlies of Dukat having had a child and all of the mental imagery that comes with that. But
what are you thinking about?
Copulation?
No. Cardassian copulation.
Cardassian copulation.
Wow.
That's worst it. That's porno all. That's all. Ever.
Sounds aggressive. I don't
know. Name of your sex tape?
Name of your sex tape.
So that's definitely a Davometer, but we didn't have any changes. We didn't have any kill tracks.
No Ferengi shenanigans?
No Ferengi shenanigans. No. Yeah, a lot of our
not
tracking
until the next stuff step. Doesn't really
happen. Okay, yeah. I have a trivia question for you guys.
Ooh.
Okay, so we've seen the first interracial kiss. We've seen the first lesbian kiss. When is the first gay kiss, gay male kiss?
Ooh,
in Star Trek or just in general?
Question. Yeah, in Star Trek.
Probably like Discovery,
this is not
I'm guessing.
Geared towards me.
I mean, Discovery would be my first instinct, but I don't think that's right.
With like Anthony Rapp? I'm going with that.
Stephanie? What do you think?
I don't know. Because
your Trek knowledge runs deep.
It does, but also like they're Jadzia and Lenara are both women, so that would be a gay kiss. Like it doesn't matter if it's lesbian or not, it's still gay. I mean,
I think he's referring to a male kiss.
Yeah.
But a male kiss. I know.
Male.
Don't segregate your gays. Come on.
Okay. Gay is gay. It's
all the gay is gay.
My daughter says that. She's 11 and she's like, gay is gay, it doesn't matter. I'm like, okay.
I mean, she's not wrong. Yeah, Jeff had it right. It was Anthony Rapp and Wilson Cruz in Discovery.
I mean, that makes sense. Discovery is just very gay, but
yes, it is.
Gay in the good way.
But it took all that time. It took 30 years for us to go from the first female lesbian kiss to the first gay male kiss. 30 plus years. 30.
I mean, but
years.
It was off for a long time. Yeah, I mean, I get it.
It was off for a long time. I mean, Star Trek stopped for,
But it's like we have this pattern. It's like, okay, it's the 60s, you get your first interracial kiss, then the 90s, then the 2020s. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's next? What's the next
2017
kiss that they can push?
I don't know.
In your species, no.
People having a kiss? I don't know. Like, it would be...
Well, they didn't... why am I terrible with names?
Oh, I was going to say
Gray in Discovery.
Yeah.
I was going to say the one with Riker, where it's the species, it's the non-gendered species that they encounter.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
a great episode.
That he hooks up with. He hooks up with the one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who hasn't he hooked up with? Come on.
Exactly.
Come on.
Does it have a pulse?
It's Riker.
Okay.
Riker is supposed to take over the spot of Kirk for Next Generation. Like he's supposed to be the womanizer. That's it.
Yeah.
Basically.
Absolutely.
We gotta fill that spot. I mean, there has to be that like character, and he's very charismatic, and he's very he's Rico Suave. Like.
Yes, he is. He still is.
He is.
Same. Riker. Suave.
Riker, suave. I like that.
Riker.
But it's true, even still today, like my one job backstage is to walk out the actors, right? And he will elude me to no end. And sometimes he will run away and just walk around to the front of the area where the panels are and walk in through the very entrance where all of the normies walk in. And he's just like, okay, I'm going to ditch my escort and I'm going to walk up this main aisle and grab some random person to walk me up. Like, he will do that.
Freaks.
I almost get fired every time I have to walk him out. And so I always say, Alicia, that's your job. Because nobody's going to turn down
somebody
Alicia.
Somebody has to wrangle Freaks.
That's true. I don't think you can. She would pin you down.
You can't. Alicia is she's just such a goddess. You would not.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Makes sense. All right. Well, I think that about closes it for this episode. Stephanie, where can people find you online? Should they want
you can find me at Instagram and TikTok and X at Desert Rose Cosplay. And other than that, you can find me doing my new documentary series with Joni Brosis, who you can also find on Instagram and X and TikTok.
Yes, we haven't talked about that this episode. What is this documentary?
We haven't. So we are doing a cosplay centric. It's called Cause and Effect. It's a docu-series/reality series about cosplay in the Star Trek community. And we are going to be filming it this August in Star Trek Vegas. And it is very exciting because everybody in the Trek community knows that this is something that everybody should love. So
awesome. That's awesome. It's going to be really good.
And we'll be there. We may have to say hi.
I'm excited.
Absolutely.
I look forward to it.
All right, Stephanie, are you interested in your debut for closing out our podcast?
Maybe. I don't know. I forgot how we do this already.
Sorry, we're very much a throw the baby in and see if they swim. It can absolutely be your own spin on it, 100%.
Okay, well, thank you guys for joining us today on the Nerd Trek Podcast, and you can find us on all the social medias as Nerd Trek Podcast. And in case you're wondering, we do love all of the stories about long-term relationships and gay and lesbian relationships and even non-societal norms. We love that. So
that was good.
Join us next time.
Right. Join us next time. Absolutely. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Bye everybody.
Bye.
Eggpot.
Bye.